Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as Moses asked for you to teach him so he may know you and find favor with you, I ask the same for us gathered here to worship you. By your very presence, make us a distinguished people. Show us your goodness and proclaim your name. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 33, I find fascinating. I really find it fascinating because here you have the Lord God and Moses talking with each other. Moses speaks to the Lord and the Lord answers Moses. It's fascinating that a mortal man is talking with the living God. Listen to Moses and learn from Moses. Moses has been leading the people Israel, and he's asking the Lord, who will go with them into the promised land? Moses knows the presence of the Lord is vital to the life of the people Israel. So verse 13, Exodus 33. This is Moses speaking to the Lord. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. Do you hear the heart of Moses expressed there? Teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Have you ever spoken this same request from your own heart? Teach me your ways, so I may know you and find favor with you. This is important to understand. To draw near to the Lord is to learn the ways of the Lord. And this happens through obedience to the way of the Lord. The way the Lord has directed us to live our life. It is plain and simple. You come to know the Lord God by living according to the ways of the Lord God. Result? Finding favor of the Lord. The Lord promises the presence of the Lord will go with Moses and give Moses rest. But you find Moses not thinking of himself, but thinking of the people Israel. If the presence of the Lord would not go with all of Israel, Moses wants the presence to go with all of Israel, not just Moses, but all of Israel. Go with us. Don't send us from this place. Exodus 33, verse 16. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth? The presence of the Lord and the people living in the ways of the Lord is what distinguishes. Just as Israel was not to conform to the nations around them, we, the church, are not to conform to the people around us, the culture or the notions put forth by the elites. Instead, we, the church, are to be a particular people, very particular in the way we walk, for we are walking in the way of the Lord. This is why you find it written by Paul in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Living as distinguished people, a peculiar people set apart, is doing your spiritual act of worship. Living holy to the Lord God as the Lord's holy people, as worship, a spiritual act of worship. How you live your life daily, day in and out, is your spiritual act of worship. Live holy to the Lord as God's holy people. The Lord answers Moses, Exodus chapter 33, verse 17. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and know you by name. Moses has found the favor of the Lord and is known by the Lord, intimately known. I know you, Moses. Then Moses blurts out. It really feels that way. He just blurts it out. And what Moses asks really is incredibly audacious. Please show me your glory. What Moses is saying here is, reveal to me who you are. Show me who you are. Moses has seen many manifestations of the Lord's power, the signs and the wonders that defeated Egypt and Egypt's gods, the waters being parted and walking across on dry ground, water from rock, bread from heaven, quail, fire and thunder on the mountain, a pillar of cloud, a pillar of fire going before them, a burning bush. Now Moses wanted to see the very presence of the living God, to look upon the Lord God, the grandeur, the holiness, the goodness, to see the divine. An incredible request, an audacious request. Lord, please show me who you are. At the burning bush, Moses asked for the name of who is sending him. I am is the name given. I am sending you. Now these years later, Moses wants to meet in person and know the I am. I find this really fascinating. The Lord answers. And I find this amazing. The Lord answers and says, Exodus 33, verse 19, and the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I want to see you, Lord. Show me your glory. And the Lord answers, I will pass by with all my goodness and proclaim my name. Moses asked to see the glory and learned from how the Lord answered, I will cause my goodness to pass. I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Mercy, compassion, goodness, the name of the living God, they're all intertwined in the glory. The Lord is glorious, for the Lord is goodness. The Lord is glorious because the Lord is merciful. The Lord is glorious because the Lord is compassionate. That is His name. And when you hear His name spoken, your image and understanding of the living God, I pray, is deepened and changed. And it becomes more wondrous. The glory of the Lord is the radiant goodness of the name. And right there is compassion and mercy. The goodness is so wondrous that no one can see the fullness by looking in the face of goodness. Exodus chapter 33, verse 20. But he, the Lord, said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. The Lord God will hide Moses in a cleft of a rock as the Lord passes by. Then Moses can come out and see the back of the Lord God, that afterglow of the Lord passing by. Jesus has a question posed to him in Matthew chapter 22, verses 16 and 17. The Pharisees sent their disciples and the Herodians, and they're trying to set a trap for Jesus. Is it right to pay taxes or not? Pay that tax to Caesar. And this was intended as a trap for Jesus. But there's more to this interaction than what meets the eye. There is a deep richness taking place here in this interaction. The tax is the tribute tax to Caesar. It's collected by the publicans, the tax collectors, such as Zacchaeus and Matthew were. The coin was to be the Roman coin. Caesar's image was on the coin, a graven image. And the coin was a constant reminder of Roman tyranny over them. Remember when Jesus sent Peter fishing to pay the 2 drachma temple tax? The temple tax was paid in drachmas. The Hebrew coinage. The Roman coin was blasphemous and forbidden to be used as the temple tax. But for the Roman tribute, the worship of Caesar, it was the Roman coin that was to be used. The inscription on the coin was Tiberius Caesar, the son of the divine Augustus, the Augustus. Inscribed on the back of the coin was Pontiff Maxim, a short form of Pontifex Maximus, the high priest of the Roman state religion. And by this, Caesar had claimed the position for himself. On the back of the coin is also an image of a seated woman. The woman is Livia, wife of Augustus, the mother of Tiberius, portrayed as a goddess, seated as a symbol for the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. So that's what was on this coin Jesus asked to see. Put together, the inscription on the coin was a claim to divinity by Caesar. And paying the Roman tax with this coin was a worship of Caesar. Caesar claimed to be the Son of God and claimed to be the imperial authority over all of worship. By asking the Pharisees' disciples for the Roman coin and their ability to produce such a coin for all to see, demonstrated that they were already indeed hypocrites. Hypocrites for even having one of these coins in their possession. This coin is blasphemous. And they had one in their possession. Using the Roman coin would be idolatrous. For one would be acknowledging all Caesar claimed about himself inscribed on the coin. Jesus was right to call them hypocrites, for that is what they are. When Jesus said, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God what is God's," this answer has nothing to do with paying taxes and honoring the government, giving government their due. Nay, what we have here is Jesus proclaiming all that Caesar has claimed about himself is not true, and it does not belong to Caesar. Caesar was claiming divinity, claiming glory. Instead, all belongs to God. And subtly, Jesus is clarifying that the claims belong to him. Caesar said he was Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Caesar claims to be high priest, authority over all worship. Jesus is the high priest. Rome claims to bring peace everywhere. Jesus is the one who brings the true peace as the Prince of Peace. The glory doesn't belong to Caesar. The worship doesn't belong to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. on the mountain where Jesus was transfigured, Peter, James, and John were able to get a glimpse of the glory of God. Shining as the sun, white as light, there standing with Jesus was Elijah and a Moses, all talking together. Exodus 34. The Lord instructs Moses to chisel out two stone tablets to replace the ones he broke and then come up to the mountain alone. No one is to be on the mountain. Not even grazing flocks or herds are to be even near the mountain. Clear out the area, for the Lord is coming. Moses is to come alone with the two stone tablets to meet the Lord early in the morning. Moses did as the Lord commanded. Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 7. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And as he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Did you hear the name proclaimed? Did you hear the Lord proclaiming the essence of himself? Whom the Lord says he himself is by nature and character, and that nature and character shows forth as glory. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious. Those who say the God of the Old Testament is a wrathful God, a God they don't want to know, they don't know the Word of God, nor do they know or understand the Old Testament. They don't know the Lord for themselves. Take it to heart and know the Lord God. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious. Martin Luther struggled with God. He saw God as a wrathful God. But then, through reading the Word of God, he came to see the compassion of God and to know the Lord God as compassion. The Lord truly is compassionate. And that change in Luther brought about the Reformation. The Lord is compassion and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love and faithfulness, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. So much compassion. So much compassion. It is very nature that shows forth His glory, His compassion, that the Lord gave the only begotten Son for our sin, the sin of the world, to be the sacrifice that brings forgiveness and eternal life. This is whom we worship. This is whom we love. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That is who you can come to know as Father through Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that compassionate God will come and live in you as the Holy Spirit. And His glory will show forth as the church lives for Christ as a humble servant in the world. Lord God is compassion. gracious, forgiving. May you know the glory of the Lord in your life for all your sin in Jesus' name truly is forgiven. Know that and live it. May you experience the very presence of God and respond with your spiritual act of worship by walking with the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Moses was very audacious in what he asked. But because he asked that question, we get to know in the Word of God the very essence of the living God and His glory is compassion. Compassion for us, for you and me. Now that is amazing. And that is the gospel in Jesus Christ. Compassion, forgiveness of sin, life eternal. Amen.